Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Take it away, Julie.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of the Brain Lady Speaks podcast. I am your host, Brain Lady Julie, also known as Julie Anderson, or vice versa. I am very excited to have you with us today. We're going to talk about, I have a great guest, Scott Watcher, on the show today. Scott, welcome to the show.
Point of order, it's Wachter.
Wachter, oops, sorry. Sorry about that.
It happens to almost everybody. Everybody.
Then I'm not alone.
People don't read words. They read the shape of words. And that's why my name gets wrong every time.
There we go. All right. We are going to be talking about a subject that this time of year, there's a lot of cool research going into it. Neuroscientific research on the effect in the brain. But let me tell you a little bit. We're going to be talking about light, the relationship between light and well-being. But let me tell you a little bit about Scott's background. He is a podcaster and tech journalist, and we found out before we started this recording that he's really a podcaster. Like, he's got a lot, like over 1,000 podcasts that he has done, so he knows his stuff. He's also the content manager for the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, and he edits their news brief that gets sent out, their different educational offerings. In creating the LS Evolve video series, Scott has worked with experts from the Pacific Northwest National Laboratories, Light and Health Research Center at the ICANN School of Medicine, and, I'm going to murder this word too, Rensselaer?
Rensselaer Polytechnica.
Polytechnica Institute. Thank you very much for being here, Scott. What a fun topic that we're going to delve into. Thank you for being a guest here today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. So as the field of neuroscience has just evolved over time, especially the last few decades, we're finding out so much about how the environment that we live in affects our moods, affects our interactions with other people, affects our sleep patterns. Tell us a little bit more about the Institute and about the research that's being done that connects the colors of lights, because there's, you know, we were talking about the LEDs and the fluorescence and all this that really has only been a part of our world for the last 50 years, right? So how are we finding out that all of this affects what goes on in here?
All right. So I guess, working with Nailed, what we've been doing lately is really focusing on people in lighting research and how it relates to health and mental well-being as things emerge. Because we've had about 10 years now where we've been pushing LEDs very hard in the name of energy efficiency. And, lighting as an industry has contributed a tremendous amount to reducing energy usage. But the way LEDs are built, we're finding that there are a couple of issues with them. And that there are, I guess, what I tend to think of as three prongs to the issue is, first, there is the color blue. Second, there is flicker. And third, there is a propagation of light pollution. Because anthropogenic light at night, which we just shorten up to ALAN, because anthropogenic is a hard word to say. And ALAN is just a great thing to be mad at, because it's like, ALAN, don't like that, ALAN. But all these things interact with how we live and how we feel. And we do, there are things like behavioral cues and mood that are almost independent. You'd have a better idea of mood and brain state than I would, but they're a bit closer to independent of proper neuroscience and maybe more neuroconditioning, because there's some really great stuff about behavioral cues and light that are perhaps more Pavlovian than proper than instinctual per se. But what we've been doing over the past few years is really working with other people, experts in the field, and just discovering, okay, we live in a world that is lit in a way that has never been lit before, with mm-hmm. the LED, with the expansion of light around us. And what is that actually doing to us? And what we're finding out is a lot of very interesting things. And I know this show tends to be a bit more upbeat and builds confidence in people. I'm a bit of a wet blanket, but there are some actual interesting things and positives we can take away if you really take control of the light around you.
Yeah. And that's one of the things one of the first things that I tell people, and this may not be exactly what Neil does or researches into, but you know, I always talk about the sleep patterns, and I talk about the you know, like you said, the light, the white noise light, if you will, or the light pollution. And we have it even within our own homes, and people tend to, especially since we have devices are just such a part of our day. If you're doing this when you're supposed to be falling asleep, that's telling your brain you're not supposed to fall asleep yet. So that messes with those patternings in your brain. You know, our brain is supposed to naturally slow down when it starts to get dark outside. And it has to do with that melatonin and the pineal gland and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize just how damaging that can be to your overall physical health because of your brain health and the lack of sleep and the way your brain fires differently.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, talking about circadian disruption, which is when light, particularly high energy light at the blue end of the spectrum, enters your eye, hits a retinal ganglion cell, and activates your melanopic response, which suppresses melatonin,
right,
which tells you to sleep. So you're awake longer or you sleep worse because, again, don't have your phone in your bedroom.
Absolutely.
Don't have your phone in your bedroom. That's the first, that is the best rule.
Yeah.
But when you let that blue light keep your brain active, you sleep less well, and it literally makes everything worse. Literally everything. Yeah. There was a study. New research every day. And
sure.
It's like literally every mental health problem you can have, anything in the DSM, I mean all of them.
Really?
Gets worse if you can't sleep. And I mean, it makes perfect sense. Oh, yes. Guess what? I'm tired. So I'm also more anxious.
Right. Or more depressed or more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's another great one that I really love is that donations to charity drop the week after daylight saving time. And I mean, I think enough people have heard that like car accidents and heart attacks also spike around the same time. But no, you are less generous when you're tired.
That's an interesting little bit of information.
I want them to repeat the study with tipping habits, actually.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Interesting. You know, it's something that we take for granted oftentimes when a new piece of technology comes out. And we get excited about it and we think about how much easier it might make our life, or everything from, you know, the microwave years back to, you know, the current cell phones and everything that they can do. Like we always look at it and go, wow, this is going to make our life so much easier. We don't stop and go, wait a minute, is this really healthy for me as an individual or my moods or my brain or my body or whatnot? What are you finding? What's the Institute finding with, just out of curiosity, because I'm sitting here with a ring light looking at me, right? So that I look good.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is it. I think we've had 2 years of web conference time.
Yes.
And obviously I'm not going to say we shouldn't have done that. I think we, you know, 6 million people straight up died. So I'm not going to say that was the thing we shouldn't have done. But I think we do, I think a lot of time indoors was not great for us. And I think a lot of the way we set up our home offices very quickly didn't help us. Hell, yeah. I'm going to call both of us out because here's the thing. Now, to your right, you have a window, right?
Yes.
All right.
Well, so it's my left. It's my left.
Okay. Your left. And on my right, there is also a window. Our desk should face those windows. I know, right? Because that way you're just getting daylight in your face.
Yes.
Again, circadian response is about getting light into your eye, not onto a table, but into your eye.
So right.
You want horizontal lumens into your eye, and you want it aligned with daytime. And there are tools now. Again, I don't want to, I'm not down on LEDs. The light bulbs above me change brightness and color temperature levels throughout the day just to sort of back off on any harms that might be going on. And so if you can match that, it's not a fix,
right.
It's not perfect, but there is data to suggest that mimicking daylight, even if it's not necessarily I'm going to name two brand names that TCP or Sol or even Violeds, who use a broader spectrum LED. So it's not just the big blue spike. There's a lot of orange and yellow and green in it as well. But the idea of, okay, no, just having that change in color, that change in brightness throughout a day does you good. And these studies are still very new and they're not necessarily always focused the same way. We've seen a couple of schools out of Pittsburgh add these sort of lighting or adopt solar, not sunlights, but solar tubes. They're a bit mm-hmm. like skylights. Mm-hmm. And yeah, math scores go up when they do that. And we're seeing data out of China where, hey, we put a bunch of undergrads in a windowless box for a few hours, and the ones with the good lighting were not mad to have been put in a windowless box for a few hours.
Yeah, it's as you're saying that, just recently, I think it was just a few months ago, or it might have been a year ago. My sense of timing is always a little bad, but they were talking about down in UCLA, down in Los Angeles, California.
The dorm.
The dorm. I'm like, are they insane?
That is a bad. That I like this guy is onto something, but don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. And there are other dorms proposing that. And I'm pretty sure we're going to see, some Silicon Valley company reinvent the tenement, and it's going to be with these light bulbs. Okay, so Pink, so I'm going to peek behind the curtain. Pinky has asked me to explain this dorm.
Yes.
So what? One of the I can't remember if it was UCLA or UC Santa Barbara. It was one of the UC networks.
Yeah.
And one of their donors, who is not an architect, but a billionaire, has insisted upon his proposal mm-hmm. of a building design that for a new dorm. I think it was UCLA, not UC Santa Barbara, but it was going to be the more affordable new dorm, because obviously housing in California, crazy.
Right.
Like, and his idea was he had been on a cruise ship where they had shown off what a lot of people would call human-centric lighting or biophilic lighting, sun mimic lighting. There's a bunch of related terms, but it is, again, what I'm referring to with these bulbs that shift color temperature and brightness throughout a day. And the whole goal was it was going to be a 15-story windowless cube. And and inside there would be one of these really nice high-tech bulbs that would mimic sunlight throughout the day, and that would be good enough.
Yeah.
For the low income dorms messaging, obviously. And there was a huge protest, mostly from the architectural community outside, not necessarily the students inside. Yeah. But this idea is certainly spreading into a lot of places. And again,
I'm just appalled because when you talk about brain health, being in green spaces, being able to even see green. So, I mean, they've done studies in hospitals that those people who have windows that look to green spaces outside, they literally heal faster.
Well, and
than people who don't.
We've had the opportunity to talk to people from ICON who are working in long-term healthcare, long-term care for elders. And you add a solarium to, you got to put grandma somewhere, pick somewhere with a solarium. But yeah, so these dorms are, oh God, I'm going to botch the quote, but, and I think it might actually be from a theater lighting designer, but it's like, you know, we are poor understudies to the sun.
Yeah.
In our work. Yeah. And, again, there are a lot of great tools, things that are emerging, but when you can have a window, I've gotten to do, Nailed and our associated brands have done a lot of work with a guy in, at the Fagerhult Institute named Henrik Clausen, and he's from Sweden. And, if you know Sweden, they don't get a lot of sunlight.
Right.
but.
Except for 2 months out of the year.
Yeah. For, you know, 2 months, great times.
Yeah.
But every, like you can't have an office where someone doesn't get daylight in it. You have to lay things out to have daylight. And that's just that's in the building codes, and that is for the citizens' benefit. And keeping that in mind, daylight is very good for you. Take a walk sometimes.
Exactly. Breathe some fresh air, see some greenness, and just let the sun just hit your face for a minute. So what are some of the hazards then? Now we got, got off on a little bit of a tangent there.
Yeah, I look, you're going to ask me 5 questions. I'm going to give you 7.5 answers. I promise you.
That absolutely works. So we talked about the hazards of having that light in your face at night. I even tell people keep the television out of your bedroom. Like, your brain needs to know that this is a place to sleep, and that's all, right?
Yeah.
When
you can, keep, absolutely. If you're really keen on really a strong sleep health regimen, your bed is for 2 things. One of them is sleeping. If you can afford to move the second thing that we're not going to say, because I think this is not running with the explicit tag. If you can have a second room for that, consider it. Consider having a second room for the second thing. But yeah, absolutely, if you can. The other thing I'm going to say is, while we're still on the subject of harm, the dose is the poison. Dimmers are good. Dimmers are still good. Obviously keep your TV out of it. But speaking of TVs, this is my favorite thing. This has become my party trick. I get to tell people that they need to buy a new TV. And some people get very excited when I tell them this.
Okay. Tell me more.
All right. So
my husband will probably be excited. He'll go like, wow, I like your business now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. So this is the thing. So aside from Blue, we have to talk about Flickr. And so Flickr is literally light going on and off. You're a restreamer, so you've probably seen this effect. You've seen like the creeping on the side when someone has like maybe weird lighting going on, the creeping going down the side. Okay. So that's a great example. So what happens is that in screens and some LED light sources, usually cheaper ones, older ones, what happens is that the light actually turns on and off in sync with the grid. So 60 hertz in North America, 50 in Europe. And that will disrupt even a neurotypical person's attention span. It's why you might have noticed having trouble reading things on a screen in the past. But if you have ADD, ADHD, it's going to make that a lot worse. And it's also just going to help. It might trigger headaches. There are plenty of people with migraines related to this. There are plenty of sensitives who have this. Oh, yeah, no. The full on and off is bad. And fortunately, it's really easy to tell because I've already explained. Oh, yeah, your webcam will tell you if you have bad light sources because you'll get the creepy thing going down the side of your screen.
Yeah.
But you can also just use your cell phone camera pointed at your light source. If you see if the frame rates are out of sync, you'll see it go off and on. And what you need to do is go look for a bulb that ideally flicker free, or sometimes you'll get like eye safe. Unfortunately, labeling on lamps doesn't necessarily indicate like the refresh rate. But at the same time, screens do the same thing. And screens will always label their refresh rate. So you, if you're experiencing this problem, and again, cell phone camera, look and you see, oh, this is really bad. It's all the way off, all the way on really fast. you have every right to say, no, 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 I need a new computer monitor, and I need either, I think a lot of, in the affordable space, there's actually a lot of really good 75 hertz ones. There's one to my left of me right now. I have not added a second monitor to this office yet, but it's sitting to the left of me. You can also go crazy and get like the 120 hertz or 144 hertz ones. And at the same time, your TV, you might need to get a new one. And people get very excited when I tell them, oh yeah, if you if you're having trouble sleeping after a bit of, you know, after movie night, you might need a new TV.
It's better and for my health, honestly, honey.
It'll help me sleep. It'll reduce my eye strain. Also, it's 5 inches bigger.
Yeah, yeah. It just so happens. Well, you know, we're looking at a time of year where there's going to be all those sales, right? So, hey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the sales are coming up. The sales are coming. best time for it.
Yeah. So does that mean then that, so tell me about, I mean, I'm not going exactly by what we had discussed or you had discussed with my assistant in terms of questions ahead of time, but there's so much with this blue light blocking, right?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the screen, I just upgraded my phone yesterday and the screen protector that I got, I paid the extra $10 to have the blue light blocking on the screen. And the screen protector do the blue light blocking. How effective are the blue light glasses, the blue light blockers on your TV or on your handhelds or your screens? Yeah. Are they really effective in diminishing that effect on your brain?
I mean, it is always going to depend because every device is a bit different. The dark mode or the eye safe mode on an iPhone is not the same on a Samsung. It's not the same on even this monitor in front of me. So you're going to have to play around with it. And some of it is just, I edit video a lot of the time during the day. I edit videos. And so, yeah, guess what? After a little too much time reading news about blue light, I picked up a basic pair. These are the cheapest ones you can get on a River website. But guess what? Yeah, 8 hours of cutting tape. My eyes feel less dry and less itchy. That's all I can tell you for sure.
Yeah.
Start looking for things. I have friends who, you know, went hardcore and got like the very yellow Gunnar branded blue light blockers, and they swear by them. But it is something you have to find for yourself. I do recommend it. Like, even if it is just whether that's a filter you're adding to your laptop screen, whether that's an option on your monitor, give it a try. If it's something that works for you, I'm not going to tell you not to do it.
You're right.
But the key is not necessarily, oh yeah. And again, I think some people use like the yellow, you know, the really amber lenses to push themselves a little farther. The key is, again, your first and last hour of the day, don't be looking at screens if you can avoid it. That's the actual prescription. Everything else is aspirin, right?
Right. And I tell people too, just in general for brain health, not having to do specifically with the lights, but just in general for brain health, your body needs to move. You need to oxygenate your brain through movement. You need to hydrate. So I tell people, you know, drink plenty of water. And that will cause you to have to get up and use the restroom often.
Well, no.
Which gives you the movement break.
The 320s rule. You familiar with the 320s rule?
No, no, no. Tell me.
All right. So every 20 minutes, you should look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds.
Open your eyes, yeah.
And walking to pee can definitely be one of those. Yeah. But it can also be, I know a lot of my friends work on the Pomodoro method. So them setting the 20 minute timer helps them stand up, walk around the house, and that gives them that eye break.
If you can
remember your 320s, do that while you're at work. Yes.
Yeah. And get out and take a breath of fresh air. Is nature, just the research, the brain research, the neuroscience and the neuropsychology, you know, the research on the psychological end of things, how it affects the brain chemistry, is very well documented about, you know, being out in those green spaces like we talked about before. So how then what have you found on the behavioral side, or what has the institute found on the behavioral side, how lights are affecting not necessarily the sleep pattern, but moods and your behavior.
All right. So again, I think we've talked about trapping, you know, a dozen Chinese grad students in a windowless room with the glowy lights, but a little more locally, we can talk about two really great, there's a couple really great studies. One is that this is circadian related, and I think this might excite some of the biohackers out there, is that this was conducted this was actually done with the Underwriters Laboratory and the General Service Administration, which is a branch of the federal government that does all the building management. Like, they don't decide if you get a security clearance, but they're the guys you talk to about having a key card when you get a job for the Pentagon. They are the most boring thing, but they are a component of every federally owned building. And what they did is that one of their offices, they gave everybody a specific sort of lamp that they put behind their monitors. These were all clerks, and it was just a panel. Mm-hmm. And for a certain point during the day, for certain times during the day, usually at the start of the morning and right after lunch, this panel will go blue. And I mean, cerulean blue. And for the rest of the day, it would dim down, maybe come back as red, especially towards around quitting time. And what happened was that everyone drank one less coffee a day. They were
interesting.
The circadian stimulus timed to when you're starting and your post-lunch dip, boom, kept everybody energized, kept everybody at their desk. And again, it's not magic. It's not going to make you, it's not going to turn you into a super performer, but one coffee a day worth of energy.
Interesting. I have not, I'm going to have to look up that study. That'd be one for a blog on. That's great. When you first start describing it, my brain was going, oh sure, use those federal employees as guinea pigs, but it turned out to be a positive thing. Very, very interesting. What can we do? What can the listeners do other than going out and buying new televisions, right? And staying, you know, putting their phones, charging their phones outside of their bedroom, their sleep area. What are some good, just like data, like as we're going into the season where a lot of people will suffer from seasonal affectiveness disorder, which has a lot to do with lack of sunlight, lack of that natural light. What can you do to bring in that natural light, or to change the bulbs in our ceiling to friendlier, something that would be create an environment where our brain will be happier, or bring, you know, augment the natural light? You can't, as you said earlier, the quote that you can't, you know, can't replicate the sun, but what's the best thing that we can do since we don't have the sun, especially if you're living in areas of the globe like yourself where, you know, you have a lot shorter days during the winter?
I mean, it is a bit unfortunate. There's not a really great permanent answer. But the answer is to get a really broad spectrum of light from your sources. And there are products labeled full spectrum. Not a real thing, not a thing anyone regulates, not a word anyone regulates. But if you can find something, again, I will shout out to, these are members, one of these are members of Nailed, who sponsor a lot of my work. But yeah, TCP's sunlight lights are actually really good. They do carry a really broad spectrum. You can also look at Solviasis, you can look at Violeds, you can also again consider space heaters. This is going to sound a little weird, but space heaters bring an infrared spectrum into your house. And what's funny about blue light, I've said before, the dose makes the poison, have dimmers, but what comes with the poison changes the virulence. The sun doesn't bother you the way LEDs do, because the sun, while very blue, is also very yellow and very orange and very green. And so bringing in more other spectra into your life, space heaters, helps mitigate that effect. It's weird.
Interesting. So that made me think there's so much going on cosmetically and even sports therapy, anti-inflammatory therapy.
We don't have time to get into sports. We can do a lot with sports because I will tell you something. There are companies who are very hot on circadian stimulus who are selling this to sports stadia. There is one company that is trying to partner up with the NCAA, the Big Ten, and get human-centric or circadian-stimulating lighting in home team locker rooms, just the home team locker rooms. The European Hockey League has bought into these systems for all their stadiums, all their training facilities. There's a company that specializes only in horse barns.
Interesting.
Racing horses.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. Does it has there been much research on either the positive or negatives of using it as, I mean, I've seen a lot of research with the red light therapy because I've been interested in it for my husband as well as myself for anything from, you know, fat burn to not as much reducing inflammation, things like that. Now that's the red light therapy. What's that difference? What's that spectrum that makes it beneficial or they think it's beneficial?
Well, okay. So the thing about snake oil is that it works if you get the right snake, but funnily enough, these guys don't tell me what kind of snake they're using. So
yeah.
we might be dealing with some people who are not on the up and up. But I will say, red light therapy, as recommended by doctors, I've benefited. I have eczema. I don't know if you can see it. Take a peek around here. Yeah, a bit of infrared therapy around there.
The natural light is concealing it perfectly.
So. Yeah. Okay. There we go. if you're talking about as a skin treatment. Absolutely, with the recommendation of a dermatologist, absolutely right. Do it. If you're genuinely looking at light therapy, always do it with a medical professional's recommendation. I mean, I know we've already said this is a PG-rated show, but some people have discussed infrared therapy on gentler areas, the bathing suit area, and don't listen to that guy about anything.
Right. And this is a good time to mention any of the listeners, if you are experiencing any type of depression or stress or anxiety, this is an informational program, right? That's what we like to bring you is just a bunch of information that has some valid or has some, you know, nice science behind it. And then you can take that information to your medical professional or your therapist and discuss it with them. But by all means, do not, other than going out and getting a new TV.
Absolutely. I am not a doctor, but you need a new TV.
Right? But be sure to check with your, with your medical professional before you make any adjustments to anything that you're currently doing. So this is such a fun topic. I love your energy, Scott. I appreciate you being here. Tell us a little bit about Nailed. Now that stands for the National Association of Lighting, National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, and it is an org. So tell us a little bit about that group. So,
this is a professional association of people that distribute lighting equipment, fixtures, lamps. You'll get people that obviously also deal in electrical, so cable, conduit. These people sell what goes in your ceiling every day. And we kind of by accident found ourselves learning about a lot of different things related to lighting because our vendors and other vendors out there are coming out with all these claims about, oh yeah, no, we have human-centric lighting. We'll get people back in the office because they'll love being in the office because we've got these nice, warm sunlight lights. And it's like, okay, they can say that. What are they citing? What does this work? Does it matter? And we did our own digging, and that's part of my job is digging into these sort of claims. And so, yeah, most of the time Nailed is just selling 4-foot long fluorescent tubes to office buildings and parking lots and metal halides and plasma lamps, you know, big old sodium bulbs for your streetlights. These guys are nuts and bolts, electricians, salesmen, and we just keep finding ourselves in a situation where light is everywhere. Light matters a lot to the human experience, and we've had to learn a lot. We've all, like our members, had to learn a lot about growing cannabis because we, you know, some of us are in a position where we are providing HPS lamps for grow ops where it's legal, and sometimes where it's not. There's a funny story about one of our members getting totally hosed with some stolen credit cards.
That's
a great story for a different time. We've also had to learn about, but we've also had to learn about germicidal UV. We've had to learn about infrared therapy. We've had to learn anything that projects light, visible or invisible, we've had to learn about. And we've been very responsible, and I'm very proud to be part of being responsible for saying, no, our members, not many of us, a few dozen companies across the US, Canada, we just added our first Hawaiian branch, and just saying, we've got a good handle on how to install fluorescents and how to switch out, a 2x4 troffer for an LED equivalent. But we're just trying to learn as much as we can to be responsible salesmen. And it's really great that we do that.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, it's interesting. The innovation, what innovation has driven you to do at the company, you know, or the company as a whole to do, you know, it helped you to just do more digging to make a better product. And sometimes that's what helps us to come up with research that can help us to improve our daily lives, which is what I like this show to be all about, right? At the end of the day, I want you, the listeners, to be able to walk away and go, oh, I can make this little tweak in my daily routine, or this little tweak in the way that I think about things, or this little tweak in the way I handle situations that will improve my life, my business, or my relationships. So you've been a great guest on the Women or on the Brain Lady Speaks podcast today, Scott. I appreciate it. Now, if somebody wants to connect with you, because I'm going to check out your podcast, because you've been a podcast host for quite a while.
Oh, okay. So you can look at my Podchaser account, and it's going to look pretty wild. I've worked on professional level shows. I will say, hey, you know what? I worked on a great series called Power Up Your Presence, which is about executive presence for women in the boardroom. I just cut tape on that, but it was a very good show. But I've also worked on series for lawyers. I've worked on, you know, Azure. I've been an editor on Azure development. I know nothing about Azure development, but I started out as a hobbyist. Of those 1,400 episodes or whatever I've worked on, thousands of them are about beer and robot cartoons, right?
Got it. Well, if someone wants to stay in touch with you, we're gonna put up your email address, and they can reach out to you and stay connected. Or if they have questions, or maybe they're like, I missed what he said, or I want more information on different things. Your email is right here on the screen. For those who are listening to this as a podcast, check out the show page and you'll find the address, the Gmail address for Scott, of where you can connect with him and follow his exciting news. And if you want more information on the National Association of Lighting, Innovative Lighting Distributors, he says he pronounces it nailed. So it's NAILD .org. All right, Scott, thank you so much for being on the Brain Lady Speaks show today. I appreciate your presence very much.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. And for those of you who, if you found this interesting, then be sure to give us all that social media love. Give us a thumbs up, like the page, follow the show, and share it out to people who you think might have a benefit in listening to it. And again, if you are experiencing any types of symptoms or things that you want more assistance with, then by all means, please seek out the assistance of a professional. You can also follow me as at Brain Lady Julie, Purple Brain Lady on Facebook, at Brain Lady on Twitter, Instagram is Brain Lady Julie. So all of those different things. And for now, as we finish up the show, I want everyone to go outside the next time you have a sunny day, where you're at. If it's evening, then tomorrow morning, I want you to go outside, close those eyes, turn your face to the sun, take a nice deep breath, and absorb all of that beautiful natural life. It's good for you. Light. It's good for your brain. And then for the rest of the day, I just want you to go out there and simply enjoy every moment.